Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, here's the deal. If you're not subscribed to the Shadow Docket bonus show on our Patreon page, you're missing a lot. On today's episode, Buzz and I dissected Jerry Seinfeld's remarks about how woke culture is allegedly killing comedy. We also had additional updates on Trump's business fraud trial in New York, plus a monkey uprising in Thailand, and a whole lot more. Here's how you get the Shadow Docket. Go right now to patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Sign up for the Shadow Docket level, $5 a month, and you're all set. It's as easy as that. Again, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Today's Rachel Maddow Show Award for Headline Excellence goes to Bob Seska.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, April 30, 2024, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi there, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1,197 of the Biden-Harris administration, 189 days into the 24 presidential election. You can find me on Threads and Instagram. The Bob Seska is my handle. Twitter, BobSeska_. Go on our Patreon page, is BobSeskaShow.com. And that good-looking fella right there, it's Buzz Burbank with the news.
Can
yeah.
You say Buzz Burbank?
Louder, louder.
You said it all.
Hi, here he comes.
You got to talk louder. I couldn't hear you over the cicadas.
Hi.
It's noisy
it
out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey,
I know.
Hey, they stay crunchy in milk, by the way.
Don't they?
Hey, hi. He's Bob. I'm Buzz, inventors of the world's first self-driving podcast.
There you go. Thank you, Elon.
First up today, it's news from around the world, Bob.
Yeah.
You know that Moulin Rouge windmill in Paris, the one in the movie?
Yeah.
True story. This week, this is absolutely true, the blades fell off.
Ouch.
They're pretty sure it was windmill cancer.
Bastards.
You knew it would happen eventually.
I know.
Oh, hey, I don't know if you heard, they have this great new deal now.
Yeah.
With every Supreme Court justice you buy, you get a free trial delay. It's just great. It's just get it while you can. The Supreme Court justices this week appeared to agree that Trump does not have blanket immunity.
Mm-hmm.
They see it more as a big fluffy comforter.
As opposed to a blanket, okay.
Exactly. And as for Trump's New York trial, I keep reading that these, and the charges in New York, are the least serious of the charges that he faces.
Mm-hmm.
They are, however, just serious enough to keep his ass in court all day. Now, in that trial, a former National Enquirer publisher, David Pecker, was granted immunity,
mm-hmm.
which in this case is legalese for condom. So that's
for the
how
Pecker,
you
yeah.
protect.
Mm-hmm.
And this trial has made it crystal clear. Trump doesn't care about saving the planet. Otherwise, why all the methane?
All right, here we go. Kicking off a brand new week with Rocky Mountain Mike. And this little ditty about the great Kerry Lake.
Who's gonna buy that election denier? Who's gonna make that big mistake? Scary lady, scary lady, Kerry Lake. Who wants to break the news about Sleepy Joe? You remember Sleepy Joe? He's the one they said couldn't cut the
nobody at this point.
No. Yeah, Rocky Mountain Mike. Flip-flopping again. She's flip-flopped three times now on abortion. So where's she going to be next week? Okay, so just out of the chute here, we got to dive into Donald Trump in further legal trouble. He has been found guilty of contempt and fined. I don't know what sound to use for this. $9,000, does it get this? Maybe a little bit, but well, that's not the only thing, right?
Yeah, it came with ups and extras, as we like to say.
True.
$1,000 per violation is the maximum. The prosecutors brought him what they perceived as 10 violations. He agreed with 9 of them and fined each one the maximum allowed by law. He's not allowed to fine them, apparently,
more
than $1,000 per violation. He found Trump, he held Trump in contempt on 9 of the issues. Now, there's more, as we like to say. The judge also warned Trump that he would incarcerate. He would jail Trump for future in violations. He didn't say can or maybe or might. He said he would for future violations. And we know from some reporting at the New York Times, according to people close to Trump, for all his bravado, he does not want to go to jail.
No.
No! And wait, there's still more.
Oh,
what?
Good.
More?
Yeah, yes, more. Still more. More. Still
on,
more.
On Thursday, when you're doing the show with Jody and T-Rex, there will be another hearing and another ruling from the judge on 4 more gag order violations. So we're not done here yet. This is just the first 9. There are 4 more coming up on Thursday that the judge will hear and perhaps rule on. And this will be second set of violations. And the judge has issued his warning. So let's see what happened.
My initial reaction to this, Buzz, was once again, we see another example of the system not being able to rise to the level of the Trump crisis. And obviously, Donald Trump can easily afford to pay the $9,000 fine.
It's a pain in the ass.
And in and of itself, it's not an effective deterrent. He's going to keep violating his gag order.
Sure.
Yeah. And
he'll probably walk away with another $4,000 in fines on Thursday, at least.
Yeah.
If not worse.
Unless he's thrown into jail. I mean, the right. Here's the actual statement from Judge Merchan. He said,
"Oh, good.
Defendant is hereby warned that the court will not tolerate continued willful violations of its lawful orders, and that if necessary and appropriate under the circumstances, it will impose an incarceratory punishment." I've never said that word out loud in my life. Incarceratory punishment. In fact, it's underlined. Yeah, it's underlined here with a little squiggly red underline, meaning that it's not really recognized. Yeah.
Not actually a word. Incarceratory. The judge is making up words. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good one. That's the word of the day. Incarceratory.
Incarceratory. Is it an actual word? We don't know.
No.
We don't know. I don't trust that red squiggly line, to be honest with you.
Microsoft Word says, this is a misspelling, but I don't think it is. I think it's just a...
No. I tell you this about Clippy. He doesn't get out much.
True. Okay, so this, as I was saying, this will lead to, I think, more severe punishment. Let the process play out, Bob, is what I'm telling myself.
Well, and here's what everybody needs. And I want to repeat the theme from a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
This is punishment for Trump. Mm-hmm. We are at the most boring part of the trial. Bankers are testifying, for God's sake. You think this is, and Trump closed his eyes as even his own attorney questioned the banker, Gary Farrow, on the stand today. What we're hearing now are like nuts and bolts. What the jury is hearing now are the nuts and bolts of the case, which aren't always as flashy or as sexy or as interesting as some of the other aspects of this case, but they are a necessary part of the case. And jury members were taking notes while Trump's eyes were closed. And while Eric watched the screen intently.
I think it's hilarious that Eric showed up to the trial. Yeah. Finally, there's some family members to support Donald Trump. And you know why I think that is?
Eric has nothing else to do.
Well, there's also that. But I think what's happened here is Donald Trump has been watching Lawrence O'Donnell because Donald Trump can't help himself. And the thing is, Lawrence O'Donnell knows that Donald Trump watches his show. So therefore, Lawrence O'Donnell, especially in that A block, that first little monologue that Lawrence does every night, he has been trolling the fuck out of Trump. And it is so beautiful to watch. He said the other day when he was talking about family members not showing up to support Donald Trump, he said, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer's family showed up to his trial. You know, his parents were there. And then he was talking about, what was it, maybe last night, maybe Friday. I forget exactly when it was. They all blur together. But he was also saying that OJ had more people outside of his trial than Donald Trump did. So he's like, he's really getting to Donald Trump's insecurities, his brittle ego, and just picking away at that scab. It's an amazing thing to observe. And I wonder if that's why Eric Trump finally decided to show up and make spit bubbles or whatever, whatever Eric Trump does when he's killing time, trying to stick his tongue up his nose, something like that.
Eric has sort of taken the mantle as Trump's main cheerleader now. He was whining on television, some one of those right-wing channels nobody gets, the other day, about how the crowds that support his daddy are being kept back. There are no crowds. There are no barricades. Nobody's keeping anybody back.
Yeah.
There's no set aside area for because there's nobody there showing up for Trump. There's no support. So this is what I want everybody from the show today to walk away with. Mm-hmm. He has little family support. He's got Eric. Eric, whose high school graduation he didn't attend. And by the way, the judge ruled yesterday that Trump does get to attend his son Barron's graduation.
Okay.
It's the 25th. So, you know,
you almost made it seem like Eric was also graduating from high school. And that could be possible. That might actually be a possibility.
That'd be something, wouldn't it? But, but you know, he can have that time, that day off. They'll take the day off so that Don can go. Trump can go to his... for the first time in any of his children's lives, go to a high school graduation.
That's right.
He'll be there for that. And that's a bone thrown to Trump by Judge Mershon, who's also been very strict with Trump's lawyers. The message, again, is this is miserable for Trump.
Yeah.
So, I mean, every day he has to sit now and listen to this minutia or sleep through it, but he has to be there. His ass is glued to that leather chair.
Mm-hmm.
He can't go anywhere. He can't do anything. Biden's hanging with Howard Stern, and Trump is sitting in that chair in court, just bored to tears and not in control.
No.
He's the judge lords over Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. In this trial. That's not a place he likes to be.
God, no. This is torture for Donald Trump. This is really, really difficult for him. The only thing that's keeping him somewhat motivated and alive is the fact that he can run out to his playpen and do accordion hands and scream about whatever. It's so cold in the courtroom or whatever he's complaining about these days. Right. And that's the thing that keeps him energized because he knows there are cameras waiting and he loves being in front of cameras. That's one thing that Donald Trump absolutely loves, even though he doesn't love his wife, probably doesn't love his children or his grandchildren, probably can't name the names of his grandchildren, but he loves being in front of a camera out there in that playpen. So that at least is a consolation. But I think it's going to affect his health. I think it's going to affect his mental well-being, which both of those things are already in shambles. These are things that he is already confronting even prior to the trials. And I think that's all an effect of having to perpetually defend himself in court. And this is just the beginning. This is the this is the easiest of all the trials that he's facing. This is the one that everyone was like, oh, wow, this is kind of a nothing one. This is like the cereal part of Lucky Charms. We want to get to the marshmallows. That's what we want. But meantime, here's the rest of Judge Mershon's statement. And this is just directly regarding the $1,000 fine, which Judge Mershon admitted, quote, unfortunately will not achieve the desired result in those instances where the defendant can easily afford such a fine. He said a higher fine might be appropriate in those cases, but since he does not have that discretion, the court must therefore consider whether in some instances jail may be a necessary punishment.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Sorry, a second of maniacal laughing.
Go ahead.
So, okay, that's enough of that. Okay, so JoJo from Jersey's reaction was cracking me up earlier. She said, if it's wrong to enjoy the fuck out of the fact that it's costing Donald Trump money to fart and snore in a cold courtroom while grown-ups discuss his crimes, then I don't want to be right.
Amen.
Perfection.
I agree.
Yes. Well said, JoJo.
I third that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Joyce Vance, we're going to turn now to the January 6th case and Judge Chutkan. Joyce Vance had some words to say about Judge Chutkan and how she could handle the possibility of immunity being determined by the Supreme Court. What's going on with that?
And well, let me begin, Bob, that segment by saying, remember that time we had a Supreme Court?
Yeah, I remember that. They were respectable on some level, yeah.
You know, the court has not ruled yet, but it has been made obvious from last week's hearing how the court is going to rule.
Yeah.
What we heard on Thursday from the conservative majority of that court, many of them bought and paid for, in what strikes me as an illegitimate Supreme Court. I don't accept them anymore. And I think a lot of Americans.
They've beclowned themselves is what they've done, especially in this most recent case. Yeah.
And in some cases incriminated themselves. They're crooks on the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. We are mired in corruption. This nation is at various levels, from local to the top.
Yeah.
And now for the first time in my lifetime, to my knowledge, we have a Supreme Court that's bought and paid for by conservative interests. Well, what it looks like the court's going to do is throw this case back to U.S. District Court Judge Tanya Chutkan.
Mm-hmm.
Generally like Judge Chutkan. I think she makes good rulings.
I'm sorry to snort at that. I just love that observation. Yeah, we generally like Judge Chutkan.
We do.
Okay, please proceed. I don't know why that cracked.
Let me put it this way. I think we can expect just rulings, favorable to justice from Judge Chutkan. So here's what Joyce Vance thinks Judge Chutkan can do once the Supreme Court does throw at least part of this immunity case back to her.
Okay.
One of the questions the Supreme Court majority raised, like it even matters, is, well, are we talking about immunity for official acts or private acts?
Right.
So that leaves it to Judge Chutkan to find out, doesn't it? So she could order, according to Joyce Vance, she could order evidentiary hearings and run the hearings now through Election Day.
Yeah.
Laying out one presidential crime after another, breaking each one of them down, as the Supreme Court justices have demanded, breaking each one down to determine which ones were official acts and which crimes were private acts. When he demanded the metal detectors be turned off on January 6th while there were guns in the crowd, was that an official act or was that a private act?
Yeah.
Let's have a hearing about that, and let's have a hearing about all the other things he did, calling senators on July 6th, and on and on and on. Sure, if that's what the Supreme Court wants, let's do it. And what that would accomplish, Bob, is that the trial would basically be held in public. If the justice system under this Supreme Court is not going to do it, Judge Chutkan can. In fact, they've asked her to. So she could really run with this and fry him in the court of public opinion between now and Election Day. Let's hope that once the case or part of the case gets kicked back to her, that's exactly what she does.
Right. And the point of discussion has always been that Donald Trump's acts on January 6th, which is the case that Judge Chutkan is presiding over, those acts were much more related to the campaign, and if not entirely related to the Trump campaign and not the Trump presidency. So anything that he did to incite what happened on January 6th, you have to categorize that as something that is not an official act. You know, ordering a drone strike against Yemen, that's an official act. But this particular thing, January 6th, I don't know anyone who could possibly make a case, other than Donald Trump and his lawyers, of course. I don't know anyone else who would make the case that these charges brought against Donald Trump reflect something that he was doing as an official duty as president. Maybe someone could say, and this is probably what Donald Trump will say, that January 6th had to do with the president maintaining the integrity of elections, something like that. But that's really a serious stretch, isn't it? Don't you think?
Yes, it is. You know, it's a ridiculous stretch. It's an unbelievable stretch. That is what they will claim, but it can't be held up. And by the way, I don't know where to jump in with these, but there have been some interesting developments.
Okay, please.
In the criminal trial, we're jumping now away just momentarily from the Supreme Court case back to New York for a minute because things have been happening. Yeah. Thank you. The prosecutors want to introduce evidence that shows that Trump tried to dissuade witnesses. The prosecutor said in court this would be evidence of Trump's consciousness of guilt.
Wouldn't that also be witness tampering? I mean,
they haven't used those exact words yet, but they are talking about wanting to sell the jury on the idea of consciousness of guilt. Uh-huh. Then at that point, the trial took a break. Trump left the courtroom and didn't speak. He looked grumpy at first, but then when he realized he was on camera, it changed to a smile and he did a fist pump. But he's got to be pissed. He's got to be pissed about, and I think he tweeted something about being silenced by a liberal judge. But that's been the extent of what's happened there. So he's not happy. And again, it underscores the misery that he's having to endure in this other trial.
Yeah.
Forgive the interruption. We can go back now to the Supreme Court case. You're gonna need a program, and I hope you've come to the right one. I think you have.
Well, I talked about this on Hal's show yesterday. What Donald Trump is doing when he talks about a liberal judge being so unfair to Trump or whatever the fuck he's screaming about in his playpen.
Silencing him, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that is Donald Trump trying to secure his base. That is Donald Trump triaging the disaster that is this criminal trial because he needs his people to stay in line. If this case starts peeling away some of the fringe Trump voters, then he loses this election big time. And he needs all those people. Yeah, he needs to basically do this PR move where he's putting out the alternative facts about the case, not as any sort of legal defense. I mean, none of this applies in court other than to damage him when he says something stupid, which is absolutely admissible. But in terms of the public perception, this is all about keeping those red hats in line for him, making sure they don't run over and vote for RFK Jr. because of vaccines, or making sure they don't stay home or write in some third party candidate or whatever, skip the presidential category entirely on their ballots. So he needs to keep doing this. And it's, again, don't look at it as, why is he saying all this shit? The jury's not going to care. Judge Chutkan or Judge Merchan or whoever, they're not going to care. But this is not about them. This is about his people. I think he's terrified. I think he has seen internal polling that indicates that, you know, he could seriously, seriously be damaged by a guilty verdict, by information of this trial getting out to his people, in addition to the internal polling that he's seen about abortion, which we've seen the consequences of that as a separate issue. But that's his motivation.
Of course, as always. I mean, it's always been about appealing to the base.
Yeah.
In addition to Joyce Vance's ideas for what a Judge Chutkan can do to sort of punish the Supreme Court for what it's in the midst of doing, journalist Brian Beutler, I don't vouch for him. I don't love him, hate him, or know a whole lot about him. But
I'll vouch for him. Yeah, he's good. He's a good guy.
Very good. Well, that's what I hear. Yeah. And he's kind of new to me, unfortunately. But he has made what seems to me to be a good suggestion, and that is that President Biden publicly warned the Supreme Court that there are things he could do with immunity if they so rule.
Yeah.
If they make that ruling that official acts are immune from prosecution, there are official acts Biden could take then between Election Day and Inauguration Day. In fact, between today and Inauguration Day. Or from the day of the ruling or whenever the ruling goes into effect. We'll see what they do with that. And it wouldn't have to, according to Brian Beutler, he wouldn't have to lower himself to Trump level of doing things. Maybe he could launch an investigation of conservative members of the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
After all, he could maybe he could expand the Supreme Court. Maybe he could order a special session of Congress, not let it adjourn until it certifies as final the popular votes from the November election. Right. These are all official. If these are official acts, Biden's immune.
Right. It's fun to make the point that
I know
Joe Biden could have the entire Supreme Court assassinated if he was granted absolute immunity.
Neither one of us said that.
But, it's one of those things that I think we've all been speculating about just from the perspective of, well, if you give the president immunity, he's going to be able to do all kinds of shit that is unforeseen or undiscussed in some of these arguments, whether it's arguments in the press or arguments before the Supreme Court or some of the lower courts. But to me, that's just speculation. There's no way Joe Biden, or for that matter, any Democrat, would start assassinating public officials.
Those
values would remain intact. The values of decency and decorum and presidential behavior and so forth.
That's the problem with extreme language, like using the A word in that case.
Right.
Neither Brian Beutler nor myself or, any reasonable person, I think, would even propose that. But there are things that Biden could do, not Trump-level stuff, not assassination level stuff, but there are things he could do for which he would be immune from prosecution. If them's the rules, according to the Supreme Court, and Biden doesn't have to do any of those things. What he has to do is publicly warn the Supreme Court that he could.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there, as you said, you listed off a bunch of things that Brian mentioned that are perfectly valid, perfectly in keeping with Joe Biden's values.
Not insane.
Given the opportunity. And quite honestly, there have been presidents who have ignored the Supreme Court. I mean, Donald Trump's hero, Andrew Jackson, ignored the Supreme Court. But I don't think Joe Biden would necessarily do that. I think Joe Biden would absolutely investigate the Supreme Court. I think Joe Biden could make the Supreme Court justices' lives miserable, specifically the conservatives on the court, who would have at that point voted for immunity on some level for those kinds of acts. I mean, there are any number of things that the president could avail himself of if he was granted immunity beyond official acts, where, if there was, there's this argument that John Sauer has brought up in oral arguments before the appeals court and before the Supreme Court.
Sauer, one of Trump's attorneys.
Exactly, with the voice. You know, he's got that voice, right? That raspy, that gravelly voice. And he has made the argument that there is something in the Constitution that we use to hold presidents accountable, and it's the impeachment powers of Congress. However, a president who is immune, could very easily have those members of Congress, enough members of Congress, removed, using his immunity, so that they could not vote on impeachment, therefore completely nullifying the use of impeachment. But,
go ahead.
It's something that I think the conservative justices should bear in mind, but which I don't have confidence that they are. I get the sense, and this is not just from this case, but from observing other recent cases over the last 10 years, including Citizens United, including the Hobby Lobby decision, where the Supreme Court just doesn't understand what they're listening to and what the long-term ramifications of it are.
I think President Biden's warning would get through to them. I think that, to me, that's different. I think what Joyce Vance has suggested that Tanya Chutkan do, I think that would be a significant message to them. I think there are things that can still be done to push back from what I think is going to be another terrible Supreme Court decision.
I wonder whether anyone who has access to the Supreme Court, I'm talking about high-level public officials, elected members of Congress, maybe people who are connected to the court in some way, any number of people who would have the ear of the conservative justices. I wonder if those people have just whispered at a cocktail party or maybe the White House correspondent, wherever they have bumped into Supreme Court justices, say, you know what? Just the very fact that you guys heard this particular case has completely beclowned you. What a mistake that was. Why did you? I think about that. Like, if anyone's taking them aside how stupid were you to do this?
Bob, if anybody's taking them aside, they're congratulating them. They're slapping them on the back. They're saying, good job. Stay the course. And here's what you have to remember or remind ourselves. Well, we have to remind ourselves themselves about people in power, whether it's a television star, for example, who takes sexual advantage of his or her employees, or anybody in a position, a coach who abuses players, anybody in any kind of position of power, at a certain point, especially if they have a large level of success, comes to believe they are indestructible.
I
think, well, we're the Supreme Court. That's buck stops here. Doesn't go any higher than this. We're the Supreme Court. So I don't think they feel any fear. I think a warning from the President of the United States about what he could do with their ruling might make an impression on them, especially if the president makes that publicly in front of the American people. And, you know, as much as you can these days in our splintered media. I think that would be important. And I think Tanya Chutkan can help push back from what I anticipate is going to be another terrible Supreme Court decision. They will. I think the court will rule that Trump has to stand trial for January 6th, but because of the delay they have gifted to Trump, and it is a gift to Trump and nothing more and nothing less, now that they have gifted Trump with delaying that trial until after the election, he gets what he wants. And if he gets elected, which I still worry could happen, if he does get elected, you know, all bets are off. All the investigations end. It's over.
Yeah. Hope for the best, expect the worst when it comes to the Supreme Court. That's where I am right now. And the other thing is, I just want to conclude with this. There is an entire contingent of people inside the Beltway, inside D.C., in the cocktail party circuit, et cetera, in the corridors of power in D.C., that doesn't take any of these threats from Donald Trump very seriously. I get the sense that there are mainstream members of the political news media that believe the warnings about what Donald Trump will do as a dictator on day one plus is just fiction, is just hyperbolic partisanship. That the warnings about, oh, well, he's going to start arresting journalists because, you know, you're the enemies of the people and he's going to be the retribution for his supporters, etc. They're maybe reacting, oh, I don't think so. You know, I don't think that's going to ever happen. I think that's crazy talk. And they're badly mistaken. We're going to talk about what Nicole Wallace said on her show yesterday here in a second. And there's a series of things that speak directly to the future of democracy in this country, including this new Time Magazine profile titled If He Wins. It's the new Time Magazine cover story with Donald Trump on the cover. And it is chilling what they report in this Time Magazine article.
Wonder, wonder if he'll have that one framed and hung at Mar-a-Lago.
Plus more fallout from Kristi Noem murdering a puppy. We're going to talk about that, too, in just a second. We went over it and over it and over it on Friday's after party. So if you want me and Kimberly directly reacting as the news came down on Friday, make sure to subscribe to the after party, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. $10 a month to get the after party. Plus, you also get the Shadow Dog. You get access to the chat room and the comments and everything like that. So please do that. All right. We're going to take a short break. Back with more podcasting right after these messages.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes, and here's what you missed. Doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result, that is the definition of insanity. And when you see that the protest thing pisses people off, that protests actually hurt the cause, and we know that because, you know, I keep on going back to 1968. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's like, yeah, this could be, you know, 1968 at the convention again. Damn right it could be that again. You know, Hubert Humphrey did not win, and he was the Democratic nominee. He lost to Richard Nixon, who literally prolonged the Vietnam War for another 7 years. You would think people would learn that what happens is when you go to a party's convention and you create chaos, it makes the party seem weak and people vote the other way. And you know, Hubert Humphrey and Richard Nixon, do you know how much difference there was in the vote total? It was less than 1 point. That made the difference. Don't have time to listen to the live show? Want to hear more on your schedule? Go to randyrhodes.com and buy a stinking podcast.
Bob Seska!
All-time favorites all day long! Rolled her eyes at the room, wouldn't last, she assumed. Screw the room, screw the room.
You know, I try not to play favorites, but this might be my new favorite song of all the independent songs we play here on the show. This is one of my favorites. I'd put this in the top three easily. This is Dafo and a song called Poor Madeline. Brand new single. Reminds me of this is going to be so weird to hear this come out of my mouth, but one of the things I love is Canadian alternative rock. Isn't that weird? There's something about Canadian rock
music. I love Canadian culture. I love their music. I love their television shows, but I do love their music.
Yes. There's something about the government grants for the arts in Canada that produces some wonderful alternative music. And Dafo, I don't think Dafo is a Canadian band, but it reminds me of Broken
Sound.
Yeah, it reminds me of Broken Social Scene, which is one of my favorite Canadian alternative bands. If you don't listen to Broken Social Scene, you're missing a whole lot. But that's Dafo. Make sure to download that song, get it in your record collection. Just go to bobseska.com, find this episode dated 4/30/24, click that link, scroll down, and you'll find links to support all of the bands for your record collection.
And while we're on arts and such, I couldn't believe this this week. I wrote Bob to say, I assume you're watching Star Trek Discovery. Yeah. Isn't it great?
Yeah.
And Bob writes back and goes, oh, I haven't actually watched it.
I haven't started watching it.
And I'm like, what? You? I'm ahead of you on Star Trek? But it's. I think it's great. I think it's headed for great things.
Yeah.
And so Bob's got it in his queue and he's going to catch up. I know Bob's going to love it. I think anybody who likes Star Trek, and that's it. I'm stopping there. It's good.
I've heard so many great things about it, so I can't wait to dive in. Yeah, that's going to be very, very soon. Yeah.
Enjoy. I'm excited. Let me know when you do.
I'm in the mood, too. I'm feeling...
you need the trek.
I need a dose. So it's about time for that. Okay. Yeah. So, and by the way, we're going to be talking about Jerry Seinfeld's thing about woke culture. We're going to be talking about that on the Shadow Docket. In case you don't know, Jerry Seinfeld was blaming the death of comedy on the extreme left and woke culture. The death of comedy on television. That's what he's saying. Mm-hmm. It is killing comedy. I have a few things to say about that. Those of you who are familiar with my position on this ridiculousness will kind of be able to predict what I'll say, but we're going to get into it on the Shadow.
I look forward to the discussion because while I disagreed strongly with the heart of what he said, he actually hit a couple of truths at either end of what he was saying.
Yes.
So I want to let's break down the tape, you know, when we get to it.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about that because I, too, am analytical about these things. I'm really into words.
There's a happy ending to it, believe it or not. What he says at the very end of the clip, redeems him a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit.
Not and completely, so, but it's some hope. It's a ray of hope. Yeah.
But the whole rest of it pissed me off. So
That's right.
Patreon.com/Bob Seska Show to sign up for $5 a month. You can get the Shadow Docket. Plus, you'll get access to all the fun stuff on the Patreon page and the Patreon app and the chat rooms and the comments.
The store where you can buy stuff.
That is separate, but make sure to go to BobSeska.com. Click the new store link under my gigantic head at the top of the page. And you can go and get all of our latest products, including Spicy Jody hot sauce T-shirts and jetpacks made of beef T-shirts and
the things refrigerator. With our names on them, the refrigerator emblazoned after party shirt.
Yeah,
we're just talking about the after party show. There's a shirt. We got a shirt for that.
That's right. They're mugs, wall art, magnets. You can get magnets for your refrigerator if you're into that sort of thing. Yeah,
phone cases.
Okay, so Christy Gnome.
Cruella DeGnome. That's my new name for her. Cruella DeGnome.
Horrible person. What's the thing that we've talked about for as long as I have been participating in modern online politics? Mm-hmm. We have always talked about, oh yeah, that Republican could, you know, murder a puppy and people would still support them. Apparently not. Apparently.
People. Christy, Bob, here's a news flash. People like dogs.
Yes. Turns out that this is a bipartisan matter, the love of dogs in this country. And it's so, I got to say, it's quite a relief because where Kimberly and I were on Friday on this issue, we thought for sure that the Republicans would be like, oh yeah, you think that's bad? Check this out. And they were going to just dig a little deeper into the depravity of their Trump values. You know, they're just like, okay, well, she's killed a dog. We got to do something worse than that now to up the ante. And that's where we thought, or maybe a bunch of people, a bunch of red hats killing their dogs in solidarity with Christy Gnome or something. Turns out, that's not actually the case. But before we get into some of the Republican reactions here, just a couple more words about the fact that she murdered this poor dog, this 14-month-old puppy. Yeah. I can't get beyond the hardcore fact that this puppy was having the time of its life, that this puppy seemed happy. She describes this puppy as being just thrilled with everything going on. Until Christy Gnome decided to drag the puppy over to a gravel pit and shoot it with a shotgun. I mean, of all the weapons she could have used, she chose the least humane weapon to do this.
This is psychopathic behavior.
It really is.
She could have taken the dog to a shelter. And she killed a goat, by the way. And I don't know how you. I don't know if America loves goats as much as they love dogs.
I love goats. I think goats are hysterical.
They are. And she put them both in a pit and shot them in the heads. The brutality of this, the unnecessary. She had to have gotten some satisfaction out of this at the time. Brutality of this is sickening. You know, I can't. I think many Americans, regardless of political stripe, agree the punishment can't be harsh enough for this.
The statement that she was making in doing this is quite revealing.
Oh, yeah.
Even though the backlash has been pretty fierce, she thought that doing this would endear her to Donald Trump, would endear her to Donald Trump's supporters.
The bravissimo.
Yes, exactly. So on some level, she felt, well, you know, this is going to be a positive thing. So I just, you know.
The toughness of it.
Yeah.
If you looked at her arms, I mean, she obviously works out. She's got some, she's actually not only got musculature, but you'll know about this, a vascularity, Bob. you know, so she's really into the toughness, and she thinks that's what can endear her to Donald Trump. So she just did playing that sort of toughness card in a very psychopathic way.
Yeah, yeah. But she's sitting there going, yeah, not only if I kill this dog, is this going to be great for me politically? But then she went and wrote about it in the book, bragged about it, emphasized how happy the dog was, how full of joy the dog was. I mean, she says on several different occasions, describes the dog as just being ebullient, just having a great time. And yet, for that, it had to be murdered. Then she goes and writes this into her book, and there is an editor somewhere, or a bunch of editors,
publishers. With that, apparently.
Oh yeah, yeah, this will be fine. But please keep that in. I think this is a great story.
Maybe this will sell. Yeah.
Yeah, this will be the big thing. We'll make a big deal about this. We'll sell millions of books, and then it'll be great. So yes, please include the horrifying story of murdering a puppy. So this way, you can't even. They won't even be able to say fake news.
It's in her book, yeah.
There's no way Donald Trump can go, oh, well, it's fake news. This is just a bullshit story to destroy this person who's going to be my vice presidential running mate. And there was a very serious chance. You know me. I've been saying this for a few years now, that Kristi Noem, up until this event, up until this major, major fuck-up, this cruelty that she has exhibited, up until this point, I thought, you know what? Not only is she going to be a contender for president someday, but she is definitely going to be a vice presidential running mate, probably one of the top two contenders right now, but not anymore.
We talked about the fact that she has a one-syllable last name,
yep,
smaller than Trump,
right,
that would look better on the sticker than a lot of other names you could put there. Well, that's out the window. Cruella de Noem will not be running with Donald Trump, and I hope that the rest of her life is long and miserable.
Yes.
And I hope that no one ever forgives her for the cruelty she has shown to a helpless animal who deserves far more respect than it got.
Yeah. So who do you think is going to be secondary?
I don't know. I don't care. You know, Bozo the Clown. I don't care. Just, you know, it doesn't even matter at this point.
That's the correct answer.
It really doesn't. Yeah. It really doesn't. No, I mean, it's not, and it's not going to affect votes. It's not, it doesn't matter. He can, if it were possible or legal for him to run without a running mate, he would.
Yeah.
He's going to have to choose somebody at some point. I don't know, you know, it would be ridiculous to try to be logical, to come to any kind of conclusion about who he's going to pick, because logic will not enter into it.
No,
And in the end, it's really just Trump and Biden, and it really, except in Biden's case, it doesn't matter who the vice presidential candidate is.
Well, suffice to say, now it's down to, I think, Tim Scott or J.D. Vance. One of those two is going to be rising to the top of the list.
He might go for the black man. In this case, a black man who has shown a propensity for attaching his lips to Trump's ass.
Yeah, right. It's not going to be Stefanik, too many syllables. Not going to be Tulsi Gabbard, too many syllables.
And Stefanik, too ethnic, I think.
Yeah.
For him.
Absolutely.
You've heard that before in your lifetime.
Oh, I have, yeah. I had to take a stupid DJ name because...
so did I.
Because my program director said my name was too ethnic for the Allentown, Pennsylvania marketplace. Yeah.
Mine was too Anglo, I think.
Jesus. But anyway, yeah, so watch for that. Who the fuck knows? And you're exactly right. Who cares? But you know what? Here's the backlash from Republicans. I mean, Kristi Noem has lost Cat Turd, plus Jeanine Pirro, Laura Loomer, Alyssa Farah Griffin, who's a Trump White House staffer, also Sarah Matthews, who's another Trump aide, Meghan McCain condemning Kristi Noem. The only person who has supported Kristi Noem on the Republican side that I've seen recently is naturally Michael Knowles, that Daily Wire pundit who is earning millions by demonizing trans people. Yeah, he was totally okay with it. He said, Noem didn't do anything wrong. A bullet to the head is about as humane a way as you can put down any animal, which is not, I mean, it wasn't a bullet. It was a shotgun blast, for fuck's sake. So,
scattershot.
Yeah, yeah. So smart move, Kristi Noem. Good luck being the least popular contributor to RSBN. one of the aforementioned networks that no one gets. That's where her future is.
Yeah, I want her to be, and I hope America sticks to its current pledge to make her persona non grata.
Yeah,
You know, she does not, as far as the rest of us are concerned, she does not exist.
Yeah.
By the way, I think you're going to be intrigued by an update from the Trump criminal trial in New York.
Okay, let's have it.
We had the executive director of C-SPAN Archives on the stand. There's a fun job. anyway, they got from him some clips that were introduced into evidence. They are clips of him denying that he knew any of the women who made accusations against him. Mm-hmm. That will not play well against the E. Jean Carroll case. They're playing clips from Trump in which he says Michael Cohen is a great lawyer. These are all things that words from Trump's past that are now, and he's having to sit there and take it silently, by the way. These are all words from his past that are coming back to bite him in his considerable ass at this point. So I just wanted to bring you up to date that they're playing clip after clip, or they had recently played clip after clip of stupid, incriminating things that Trump has said in the past, now to be used against him in a criminal case.
Right. Okay. So thank you for that.
Sure.
Meantime, this CNN poll is absolutely an outlier.
Yeah.
Don't fucking sweat it.
Please convince me of this.
CNN is being ridiculous right now. And one of the problems that I see accompanying this outlier poll is the fact that CNN is not emphasizing the fact that it's an outlier poll. Even the Washington Post, when the Washington Post published an outlier poll not too long ago, they emphasized the fact that it was an outlier poll. They said, okay, you know what? These results really don't reflect what's actually going to happen in this. This is the so extreme in terms of the numbers here. You can basically disregard this poll. CNN's not doing that. And so I went back in time. I rewound to 2016 and looked at the polling at about this time in 2016. When you had Hillary Clinton, obviously, versus Donald Trump. On this day in 2016, Hillary Clinton was leading nationally by 8.5%, according to the RCP average. 8.5%. Obviously, Hillary Clinton went on to lose the election. She won the popular vote, lost the Electoral College. The CNN ORC poll, more specifically, from April 28 to May 1st, which is the equivalent of right fucking now, that poll showed Hillary Clinton leading by plus 13 points.
Off.
Obviously, that was way off the final result.
Indeed.
Yeah,
indeed.
Probably by about 10 points. I mean, what was the margin of difference as a percentage of the popular vote in the, let me see, I'm going to look this up, 2016 election. Yeah, so Hillary Clinton won by 2 percentage points in the popular vote. Again, CNN had her leading by 13 points.
Right.
So let's be generous and say CNN was off by 10 fucking points at this point in time in the 2016 election cycle. So when you see that CNN poll, when you see that obvious outlier poll, do not let it freak you out. It is still way early. I mean, this is the standard line. It is way early, and it is inaccurate. It is not an accurate reflection of how this election will turn out.
My confidence has been shaken in this past week because, on one hand, while you and I and others have been saying it's still, we got 6 months.
Yeah,
I'm now also hearing people saying, there's only 6 months left.
I know, there's that too.
So now we're starting to get that thing. I do believe and hope that the pendulum can swing over these next 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
That still seems and feels to me like a substantial period of time. But I got people nipping at my heels, pundits, journalists, saying things like, it's only 6 months left and they're still tied. It's a dead tie. And but in the individual categories of concerns of the American people, Trump is leading Biden, they're saying. In these polls, in the individual issue categories. And I worry about, Bob, the national amnesia that we've talked about.
Yeah, yeah, so do I.
I came across this week. Currently, America's approval of the Trump economy stands at 60%. 60% of the American people currently approve, they disapprove of the Biden economy. 60% approve of the economy we had under Donald Trump. Do you know what his economic approval number was 4 years ago today?
What was it?
30%.
Of course.
That's how much amnesia there is.
Yeah.
There's now twice as many people believe it was a good economy under Trump than believed it when we were under Trump.
Yeah. Katie Turr yesterday said to Nancy Pelosi, yeah, well, the reason the economy sucked under Trump was because of the pandemic.
Yes.
Well, it wouldn't have sucked if he had done his job and prevented the fucking pandemic. Why are people so interested in giving this guy a pass?
That was a beautiful piece of tape, by the way. I mean, Nancy Pelosi really shut Katie Turr down as well she should have in there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What a stupid fucking thing to say.
Right, right.
We're going to blame him for the ramifications of that.
Right.
Because the president had the power to prevent that pandemic, at least right. the way it affected the United States.
I know.
At least the death toll here.
But and that's a reality. But the other reality is the American people don't know that. I worry, Bob, they don't know.
I know. I know.
I wanted to start today's show by screaming, they don't know. They just
I
don't
know. And that's the thing that plagues me. That's the thing that makes me doubtful about the outcome of this election is I am so disappointed and disillusioned in my fellow Americans. It is... Mm-hmm. Something that I think about almost every day. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. And it started with the pandemic. It started with people not being able to do the right thing in the course of that pandemic. Listening to Donald Trump and doing what Donald Trump was saying, like, ah, forget it. Don't worry about the protocols, the safety. No, you don't have to do that. No, forget masks. You know, let's all go back and do normal things again. And so it's that and combined with, you know, because on some level, you have to look at the polls, and even the polls that are accurate showing on a tight race, but Joe Biden leading, even those polls, you're like, how are all these people supporting Donald Trump? How is that even possible? I feel like I'm taking fucking crazy pills.
But yeah, they hate, for whatever reason I can't get my finger on, they hate Joe Biden and love Donald Trump, or claim they do, partly because they're ignorant, partly because they've forgotten.
Yeah.
I don't know why. They wanted Joe Biden to return us to decency after being disgusted with Trump, and now they want Trump back? Mm-hmm. Is this like a Stockholm Syndrome thing? What's happening here? Let me remind you of three words we were saying a couple of years ago, I guess. Don't look up.
Yeah, don't look up. In fact, don't get happy at this point. Look at the polls, like CNN poll. You don't have to take it seriously, but get motivated based on that. Get motivated by the fact that Donald Trump is doing as well as he is. And do the things you have to. I mean, we've got 6 months to go. Now is the time to get active, not after the fact, because that's what we often do. We get to an election or some event in a legislature somewhere, and we react after it's too late. React now. Now's the time to assume that Donald Trump could end up being a dictator for life, president for life.
I think our biggest enemy, and especially with what I'm seeing with other stories in the news, I think our biggest enemy is, again, and maybe more than ever, those who don't vote.
Yeah.
And so our job, yours, mine, our friends, our family, our jobs are to make sure as many people vote as possible.
Yeah.
We've got to get out the vote. Because lethargy, the fact that you don't like any of the above, there's one you're going to dislike more than the other.
Yeah.
And you need to prevent that to protect yourself and your country. We are, as I hope we discuss soon, about to lose democracy.
Yeah.
And we're really on the precipice of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how dire it is. But as you'll also hear, democracy to some has become a dirty word.
Yeah, we're going to talk about all of that in just one second. But I want to leave you with this. I think it's beyond just people who don't vote. I think it's people who vote but actually don't read the news. And here's how I'm deducing this. The latest NBC News poll shows that 53% of voters who don't follow political news, guess who they're supporting? Donald Trump, of course.
Sure.
27% of those people who don't follow political news support Joe Biden. Among voters who read newspapers, 70% say they support Joe Biden, while 21% say they support Donald Trump. That right there is the difference between democracy flourishing and democracy dying.
That's the difference between an informed electorate living up to its duties and responsibilities as citizens and the rest of you slackers.
Yeah. Overall, 54% of voters polled described themselves as traditional news consumers, while 40% described themselves as digital media consumers. Among traditional news consumers, 52% support Biden compared to 41% for Trump. Among digital media consumers, however, 47 support Trump, 44 support Joe Biden. So that gives you an indication of the level of disinformation on digital media.
We have 6 months to illustrate daily the evils and dangers of Donald Trump.
That's right.
He wants to eliminate entire branches of the federal, not branches, forgive the misstep.
Departments.
He wants to eliminate entire departments of the federal government. You have no idea what you're in for if you're voting for Donald Trump. You have no idea what you're in for if you fail to vote. You have no idea what you're in for if you vote for RFK Jr. or Cornel West.
That's right. That's right. The mission here has got to be knowing these numbers. And again, you can adjust the numbers based on the jankiness of the polls, but it still will show essentially the same thing, that people are misinformed, and the people who are misinformed are voting for Donald Trump. So we have to inform them. Use whatever platform you can. This doesn't take going out and phone banking or volunteering, knocking on doors, although that certainly helps. But you can do this out of the comfort of your own home. Avail yourselves of your social media platforms, including and especially Facebook, where, yes, they are throttling political content on Meta and all the Meta platforms. However, there are still some people that this will get through to, and all you need to get through to is just a couple, and then they tell their friends, and so on and so on and so on, as the commercial goes.
You know, start a new page. I've had, for years, I've had three Facebook pages.
Yeah.
I've had you know, the Michael J. Elston page, and that's really my main page. And the name Buzz Burbank appears there, so it's very clear that it's my page.
Yeah.
And so that's always been there. Well, that's the one that's getting throttled. That's my main one. I have 5,000 followers. It's being throttled, and I'm really, I can tell by the results. But I've had another page that I never really paid much attention to, just simply called Buzz Burbank. It's just, that's all it is. Yeah. And lately, thanks to the being able to post two things at once, or you know, both pages at once, I've been posting news updates for the very first time over on the page called Buzz Burbank. Well, guess what, Bob?
Mm.
That page isn't throttled, and it's getting a lot of response.
Wow.
So
nice.
Yeah. So I think I've and at least for a while sneaked around the algorithm.
Yeah.
And so you know, if it is helpful to someone to start opening new Facebook accounts. If you feel yours is being throttled, and you know, and not everybody's is, but if you feel yours is being throttled, I think one way to deal with that is open a new page.
Yeah, I was thrilled to see on Instagram that my post of Donald Trump's hair flap waving in the wind the other day, that video actually got some engagement, got some reach. I was surprised for Instagram because once again, Meta, Zuckerberg, throttling political content. So somehow one broke through. So at least there's that. Okay. So along these lines, we're going to talk about democracy here in the next segment.
Very important.
The last segment, but not the least segment. This is super important. We've got three particular stories that we want to talk about here in the remaining moments of the show. So we're going to get to that right after these words.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
There is exciting news in Stephanie Miller podcast land, isn't there, Chris? We now offer Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast and the Out of the Gate podcast.
Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast is once a week. It is the best interviews of the week from the Stephanie Miller Show every Friday. Stephanie Miller Out of the Gate is daily. You will get the first segment of every day's Stephanie Miller Show, plus Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour Extra, which is the best interview of each day. So three different podcasts in one feed.
Get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
Hey, this is John Fugelsang of SiriusXM, and every morning as part of my parole, we bring you a condensed version of last night's show as the John Fugelsang Podcast. Our guest list has ranged from Brian Wilson to Rakim, Julie Andrews to Ashanti, Willie Nelson to Smokey Robinson, from Mark Hamill to The Who to R.E.M., from Bernie Sanders to Chris Christie, Tyler Perry to Carol Burnett. We've got the best journalists, most qualified opinions, and some of the best comics with the most unqualified opinions. The John Fugelsang Podcast. Get it wherever fine podcasts can be downloaded.
Seska plays more music.
Samantha Emmy. Italian bossa nova recording artist, Samantha Emmy.
Wow.
Yeah. And a song called Next to Me. This is great. Giving this another spin. Yeah, make sure to download this one into your collection. In fact, the whole EP is wonderful.
That's a bossa nova.
Yeah, so good. Especially when you say it like Chico Marx.
That's right.
BobSeska.com/music to submit your work to the show. Thank you for doing that.
Nice,
yeah.
Nice.
So along the lines with what we were talking about a second ago, I just have to say, wake up, America. You're derping us into fascist tyranny. Although, if you've been following this show long enough, you know these are things that we've been talking about. But once again...
How much shock can we endure? And by the way, as we become more mature, and as we get, in my case, as we get older, we feel more free to say things like, wake up, America.
That's right.
Did you ever think you were going to be saying, wake up, America?
No, definitely not.
No.
Next, I'll be yelling at clouds.
Thank you, Grandpa Simpson. Okay.
Yes, right.
So, yes, this piece in Time magazine, it's the cover story. It's called If He Wins, with a black and white photo of Donald Trump on there. And the cover kind of understates what's inside. Here's the key paragraph that's currently being shared around social media.
Okay.
What emerged in two interviews with Trump and conversations with more than a dozen of his closest advisors and confidants were the outlines of an imperial presidency that would reshape America and its role in the world. Yep. To carry out a deportation operation designed to remove more than 11 million people from the country, Trump told me. Trump, this is directly from Trump to Time magazine.
Yes.
He would be willing to build migrant detention camps and deploy the U.S. military both at the border and inland. He would let red states monitor women's pregnancies and prosecute those who violate abortion bans. He would, at his personal discretion, withhold funds appropriated by Congress, according to top advisors. He would be willing to fire a U.S. attorney who doesn't carry out his order to prosecute someone breaking with a tradition of independent law enforcement that dates from America's founding. He is weighing pardons for every one of his supporters accused of attacking the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. That's more than
true.
800 of them whom have pleaded guilty or been convicted by a jury. He might not come to the aid of an attacked ally in Europe or Asia if he felt that country wasn't paying enough for its own defense. He would gut the U.S. Civil Service, deploy the National Guard to American cities as he sees fit,
right.
Close the White House Pandemic Preparedness Office. I read that again. Close the White House Pandemic Preparedness Office, just as bird flu is on the rise, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And staff his administration with acolytes who back his false assertion that the 2020 election was stolen. That
now,
is Time magazine today.
Right. Let me go back like a couple of items to the one.
There's a lot there. Yes.
Yeah. Well, this was perhaps the penultimate one or maybe the one before that. Is there a word for the one before the penultimate one?
The pre-penultimate.
There you go. Thank you. It could have been that one.
Yeah.
The one where we're talking about Trump sending the National Guard or sending military troops into the streets to quell American unrest. The Republicans are now champing at the bit to do this.
Yeah.
They can't wait for Trump to be elected because they have seized upon the campus protests that are occurring around the country and have escalated with the occupation of a building at Columbia this morning, overnight. And the Republicans can't wait for their law and order Trump to get back into office so he can send the military and shut these down and show how America is more peaceful under Trump than it was under Biden, and to portray what's happening right now as Biden's chaos.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, you know what? Joe Biden has nothing to fucking do with local law enforcement on college campuses. Just to have you know, maybe read a goddamn government book once in a while. Federalism, that's a thing you should look up.
Well, it's they would argue that it's Democrats at all levels.
Whatever.
It's part
bullshit.
Of that great. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, this is what we're up against. This is the unreality we're swimming in.
Yeah. This is the kind of stuff that you want to post on Facebook. In fact, I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to do it later today where I'm just going to take the screen grab of that paragraph I just read from the Time magazine piece.
Right.
put it up on Facebook, very minimal commentary, so there's nothing for Zuckerberg's algorithm to grab onto. There's just an image, and hopefully some people who are on the fence, who are pissed off about $3 gas or whatever the fuck they're grousing about right now, will see that and go, Jesus Christ, do I really want to be responsible with my one vote for ending democracy in this country? I don't think so. And that's the thing. That's to me, the convincing argument is, do you want to have your name attached to the end of democracy in this country? Do you really want that legacy for your children and your grandchildren and your posterity?
Yeah, there are Republicans who do, Bob.
I know they do. But
okay, go ahead.
Well, I'm talking specifically about the people who voted for Joe Biden last time and who are backing away from Joe Biden this time.
Understood.
Yeah, okay. Those people, those gettable people, those undecided voters.
I still think it's important that we all know that the red hats and specifically Republicans in Washington State have said in so many words they want to end democracy.
Yeah.
And for the most ignorant reasons,
right?
Because they associate the word democracy with the word Democratic Party. And so they think democracy means doing it the Democrats way. They're saying we're done with that.
Yeah.
Well, it's because they're ignorant and they don't understand what small d democracy is and what capital D Democratic Party is. They don't understand the distinction. We simply named ourselves after the concept of democracy in much the same way they named themselves after the concept of Republicanism, or having of a republic.
Yes, and by the way, the usage of the word democracy is semi-colloquial. We say this just as shorthand because describing our system as representative democracy, and on down the line, you know, first of all, that doesn't fit very well into 280 characters on Twitter or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, it's cumbersome to say that. So we say the shorthand, democracy. That doesn't make it wrong. It just means it's a shorthand for a thing that's harder to describe.
We are a democratic republic. We are a republic that embraces the idea of democracy and has since and because of its founding.
Yeah.
So the fact that this ignorance is being spread, that democratic and democracy are the same thing, that democracy is a policy of the Democratic Party and therefore must be rejected, is frightening.
Yeah.
And it's important to know this is what we're up against. And I think I'm hoping that that fear will help everybody get everybody to the polls.
Yes. And part of the context for this conversation is what happened in the Republican State Convention in Washington State.
Yes, yes.
Where a resolution was called for ending the ability to vote for U.S. senators. Instead, senators would get appointed by state legislatures, as it generally worked 110 years ago prior to the passage of the 17th Amendment in 1913. This is one of Mark Levin's Liberty Amendments. This is one of the things that they want to do nationwide. Quote, we are devolving into a democracy. This is a Republican delegate saying this. We are devolving into a democracy.
Right, devolving.
Yes, because congressmen and senators are elected by the same pool. We do not want to be a democracy, said this Republican delegate at the convention.
Exact words.
Publicly. Rachel played the clip on her show last night.
We do not want to be a democracy. Mm-hmm. Exact quote.
And then let's see what else. They passed a resolution calling on people to please stop using the word democracy.
God.
Quote, we encourage Republicans to substitute the word republic and republicanism, where previously they have used the word democracy, the resolution says.
Right.
Every time the word democracy is used favorably, it serves to promote the principles of the Democratic Party, the principles of which we ardently oppose. The resolution sums up, we oppose legislation that makes our nation more democratic in nature. So it's not just a word framing issue they're describing here. They're trying to have it both ways. They're trying to say, well, this is, we don't want to say it because it connotes the Democratic Party. No, it's more than that. And it's clear that it's more than that. We oppose anything that hints at direct democracy, including, by the way, the aforementioned National Popular Vote Interstate Compact, which we've discussed recently.
Fingers
right?
Crossed, yes.
Yes, and that came up in the course of the convention in this context. So
it did, yes.
Yeah. So once again, this is petty nonsense, but what they're trying to do is, remember what they did to the word liberal? They're trying to do that to the word democracy now, making that seem as if it's a verboten phrase, as if it's somehow I don't know what, anti-democrat, anti-American. The word democracy is anti-American is what they say.
I want to wear them all now. I'm a liberal progressive Democrat. Yeah. F you. Take that.
That's right. Good for you. You know, and this boils down to the fact that the only way the Trump Republican Party can even exist at this point is through minority rule. They understand that if it just came down to democracy, people deciding at the ballot box whether Trump Republicans succeed in elections, they would lose and lose badly. And so they want to disinform people to make sure they're not getting the information from the proper sources. See also the poll that we talked about in the previous segment. But now they want to make democracy seem oogie, and don't underestimate their ability to successfully frame things. We're still trying to wiggle out of their demonization of the word liberal this many decades later. I think it was even started back in Nixon's era with Spiro Agnew.
Making liberal a dirty word. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Meantime, along these lines, Nicole Wallace said something publicly yesterday that I don't think I've heard anyone else in the press discuss publicly before. She said, while our democracy wouldn't exactly fall apart immediately, the real threat looms larger, a candidate with outward disdain, not just for the free press, but for all our freedoms and for the rule of law itself. She said that she may not even be here if Trump wins
this time next year.
Yeah. And this goes to what I was saying. I thought it was very brave of her to say this, because I think a lot of her colleagues are unwilling to say this out loud or even believe that it's true. As I've been saying, I think they believe it's like some sort of partisan hyperbole. Liberals exaggerating to get Donald Trump and to make sure Joe Biden gets reelected. I think that's the level of cynicism that you'll get from people like Jim Vandehei and those types who, you know, occupy Axios and Politico and the cocktail party circuit in D.C. That's what that's all about.
Yeah.
But Nicole Wallace is actually very, very correct.
She is one of those things where... It's that scary and that dire and that important. Yes, absolutely.
Exactly. This is more than just, well, if a Republican wins, they're going to cut taxes and, you know, do the typical Republican things.
We're past that. We don't do that anymore, because the Republicans don't do that anymore.
Right.
Democrats govern when and where they can, but the reality we live in is brought to you by the Republicans.
Okay, so we're going to wrap up with some good news.
First an update. A little bit of a tease, and maybe a reason to stick around for the shadow docket. Mm-hmm. You know, prosecutors have called Keith Davidson, who was a lawyer to Stormy Daniels during the hush money transaction. Mm-hmm. So things are starting to get a bit more interesting. So stay tuned.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, and Stormy Daniels said that when she testifies, she's going to look Donald Trump right in the face.
Oh, yeah. And he won't be looking. His eyes will be closed, or he'll look away.
Of course.
But I hope she wears again what she wore, I believe, the first day, was the dress with the mushrooms all over it.
Perfection. I mean, second on the list of successful trolls of Donald Trump, Stormy Daniels after Lawrence O'Donnell.
But we digress, because you have good news to take us out with.
Yes, big win for the trans community. A federal appeals court ruled that the state health care plans must cover gender-affirming surgeries. State officials in West Virginia and North Carolina had argued that their policies were based on legitimate government interests, such as cost concerns, rather than bias. The court, however, ruled that the denial of some health care services via government-sponsored insurance for transgender people was discriminatory, and of course it is.
Sure is.
Yeah, yeah. And of course,
These are red states. Obviously, these are red states, and this is part of the recent red state campaign against trans people, and for that matter, the entire LGBTQ plus community.
That's right.
And so having this ruling is great. This knocking down these two red states for going after trans people, that's a good thing.
And coming up on the Shadow Dog, we're going to talk about Jerry Seinfeld's remarks about woke culture and how it's affecting TV comedy. I discovered through debating some people on Twitter yesterday, specifically one person who maybe is lying about it, but identifies as a stand-up comic.
Okay.
It boils down to this whole business with, we fucking hate woke culture. We're so pissed about woke culture because comedy.
Right.
I learned yesterday, and it didn't surprise me. I've kind of predicted this, but it's because they hate trans people. They so desperately want the ability to be able to hector and tease and bully trans people on the stage.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And they want to be able to do it without any accountability whatsoever.
Punching down instead of punching up.
That's right. And that's what it boils down to. Has nothing to do with any actual death of comedy, which is just absolutely ludicrous. We're getting way ahead of ourselves, but that's the thing. Yeah. So we're going to talk about the Jerry Seinfeld thing coming up here and a whole lot more on the Shadow Docket. Here's what you got to do. Here's your homework.
Okay.
After this music is done playing, if you're only listening to the free show, if you're not subscribed on Patreon, when this music is done playing, go to patreon.com/BobZeskaShow. Click the link for the $5 a month Shadow Docket level. That will get you two Shadow Dockets every week after the Tuesday show, after the Thursday show. We keep talking. It's like extra show. Those of you who are just free show listeners, show's about to end in 40 seconds. But if you're subscribed to the Shadow Docket, you get like an extra 20 minutes. I mean, Thursdays, we've been going extra long for some reason. It's been like an hour-long Shadow Docket. So you never know how long it's going to be. It's going to be around 20 minutes on average. And you'll find out if you subscribe. So please do that. Please support the show if you can. Again, patreon.com/BobSaysTheShow. It's easy to set up. You get the app, too, plus the alerts, notifications on the app, letting you know when the shows are ready for you to listen. It's very, very convenient. So go do that. Again,
patreon.com. Go to the store.
Yeah. See you over there. See you on the Shadow Docket. Bye-bye.